This can be our final week of a series on authority issues, our series on Jonah. And if you haven't been here for the first few weeks of it, I'll give you a quick little recap. If you got the Bible app, you can definitely pull that up right now and go to events and you can follow along with us. But we've really been talking about God's authority in our lives and what that looks like and how that can impact us depending on how we view it, how we look at God's authority. And the first week was about how God's authority exists for our protection, how it's there to protect us. Week two was about how God's protection is because of his love for us, that while his authority does exist for our protection, it's there because he loves us, not just because he wants to be a giant cosmic bully. Week three, which was last week, which was Christy, and she did an awesome job. For those of you that were here to hear Christy, she did fantastic, so thank you, Christy. She talked about submitting to God's authority, and she gave us some great stuff and some really good insight about what that means to submit to God's authority. And we're going to get into a little bit more of that tonight. But I want us to look at Jonah as we finish up tonight. I want us to start with looking at Jonah as a mirror. Jonah is a mirror. We've been looking into this guy, and a lot of the things that we've seen from Jonah, a lot of the ways that he's reacted to things, and tonight's kind of no different, to be honest, is tagging this guy as kind of an idiot and kind of a moron and not really looking at God in the right way, and in many ways looking at this guy, the way that Jonah's acting, in many ways is a way for us to look and go, let's not be like that. It's interesting because there's not too many people in Scripture where you get to the end of their story and you go, wow, I definitely don't want to be like that dude. This is one of them, to be quite honest. A lot of great things about Jonah, but at the end of the day, I hope, in all honesty, and not just because he was inside of a fish for 3 days, but I hope that none of you end up looking back and going, man, I really kind of Jonah'd my life. I think we can look back and make some good decisions if we look at Jonah's life like a mirror of our own, if we're being honest, because we can learn some things moving forward. His heart looks a lot like how we feel and act toward God and toward God's authority. And when we look at Jonah and we look at maybe what is the mirror of us, it's the fact that when Jonah realized that he's not God and God is God and he is not, that's when he rebelled, and that kind of becomes the problem. And when we wrap up everything today, I really hope that you're looking at submitting to God's authority for all the right reasons. And we're going to look at actually the purpose for God's authority tonight. We've looked at some of the reasons why, but that's different than the purpose. That's different than the purpose. And tonight we're going to look at the purpose, how that can change the rest of your life. I really truly mean this when I say this. Everybody look at me. Tonight, if you really get this, if you really wrap your mind around this, this could be, an aspect of your life that changes you for the rest of your life. And you're like, wow, really? That's pretty heavy. I know. That's the Bible. It'll do that. Okay? But it really could. So I really want to encourage you guys to just kind of lean in tonight and to really focus on what we're talking about. So just to quickly recap, Jonah saves Nineveh. Saves Nineveh, if you want to look at it that way. But the story basically goes like this. Jonah is a prophet of God. He's being sent out to tell God's message to the people of Nineveh and to try to redeem this city, this wicked, terrible city. Jonah didn't want to do it. He went the other way. He tried to jump on a cruise ship and go. And God's like, no, I think I'm going to bring a storm. And this storm comes and tries to take the ship down. And Jonah's like, okay, this is my bad. Toss me overboard. So he gets tossed overboard. And the storm stops. Then a giant fish comes and, you know, gobbles him up. He lives inside this huge fish for 3 days. And after repenting to God, the fish pukes him up on the sand. That's actually the Bible talks about vomiting. And it says it's vomited him back up onto the land and giving him a second chance to obey God. And I'm so thankful, just quick sidebar for a second. I'm so thankful that God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and a bunch of chances, because I know I've needed them in my life. I don't know about you, but I know I have. But it gets even crazier, because this huge city that God hated, and Jonah clearly hated, immediately changes their heart and turns back to God. and they turn back to God and they ask for God's mercy. And we see Jonah's life kind of contrasted with sinners, as opposed to this guy who's supposed to be a prophet of God. In his life, honestly, he's acting like the ones that need God. And the ones that need God are actually acting like probably how he should, which is really kind of interesting. See, Jonah knew God, but he consistently fears God less than the people that he's trying to reach. A lot of times in the Bible, the word fear is used in the same context of like the word respect, okay? So his respect for God isn't nearly what other people's are that don't, quote, know God as well as he does. And we're going to see how this kind of reaches its conclusion here at the end tonight. So in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10 is where we're going to be. And I got the verse on the screen here. And chapter 3 ends with the good news that Jonah's message to Nineveh, the response is submission to God, and it changes God's heart, because God initially was going to just like light this town up. He was going to nuke it, kind of thing, right? Like Sodom and Gomorrah style, just peace, gone, right? And God changes his heart and decides not to destroy them. So verse 10 here says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. So that's sweet. That's the end of chapter 3, right? Fade to black, credits, good movie, right? Good story. It actually doesn't end there. And it's really interesting that it doesn't end there. But it probably should, because it'd be an awesome story of like Jonah turning around and following God, and the Ninevites turn to God, and yay. So that would be a good place to end it. But it's not. It's not. And this is where we're going to see, if we're being honest, I want to ask you guys tonight, as we go forward here, to be honest with yourself. I want you to be honest with yourself about this idea about Jonah's life being a mirror into our lives. Because this could be a little challenging for you and myself moving forward. But I think if you're honest, you'll see where we're going here, and you'll see maybe a little bit of yourself in the rest of the story. Jonah's response is, in all honesty, probably what we should expect of this guy by this time. He ruins it. He kind of ruins everything by being human and struggling again with God's authority, and the guy just doesn't get it. Look at his response to God's mercy here, okay? Here's his response in Jonah chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." All right, like, is this guy for real? You know what I mean? Like, that's, seriously? Like, you should almost read this like a whining kid. If you want to like get the voice of Jonah going here, "I knew you're gracious and compassionate God. It's not fair," right? Like, you can almost hear him doing this. Like, are you serious right now, dude? Are you kidding me? But before we get too judgmental on Jonah, I want you guys to just be honest for a second and think about this. Here's the part. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. To Jonah, this seemed very wrong. God decided not to destroy this city. These people return to God, and Jonah's mad. A prophet of God is mad that God won, if you will. But how about you? How about you? Have there been times in your life where you look at the things that have happened and they didn't line up with how you thought they should? Some things happen, you didn't see it as fair. Something went down and maybe you knew it was going to go down that way, but you were hoping it didn't, and your intentions were one way and it went down another, and you've been unhappy and you just wanted to die. As it says, that's literally what Jonah said. Just kill me now. I mean, he kind of says that. This dude's way over dramatic, okay, for one. He's way over dramatic. He was inside a fish a couple days earlier. And God rescued him from that. And now he's mad that this town didn't get destroyed, that was supposed to get destroyed. He's mad. He's on the brink of death. Oh, just kill me. Because hundreds of thousands of people have been saved. What? Like, give me a break. But we have very similar reactions to God if we're being honest with ourselves. We do this all the time. Maybe not to this extreme. Obviously, this is like super extreme. And I think that's probably why God decided to use this story, because it's so like over the top that it's gonna get our attention. But we do this all the time. We start questioning things. We get frustrated about things that are going on. And on the inside, we start sounding like the 4-year-old toddler Jonah that is just complaining to God and going, it's not fair. It's not fair. And we get in this conversation with God, and we start getting upset. But let's see how God reacts to this. Because we do this. We do this. But God actually responds to Jonah's anger here. And here's what he said in chapter 4, verse 4 through 9. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. So he's trying to get like a front row seat to the fireworks because he's thinking, this is about to go down, and I want to see it because I didn't want to come here anyway, but I did because I got ate by fish. And so I came here anyway, and I did what God told me to do, so now I'm going to sit and watch him blow up this city, and I'm going to get myself a good seat. So then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. Again, overdramatic, dude. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said, and I'm so angry I wish I were dead. That's the Bible. Okay, so let's back up here. God reaches out to Jonah to ask why he is angry, right? And Jonah's response is this: silence and relocation. And we do this very same thing. We hear a voice of reason, and we go, silent treatment, and I'm going to peace out. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go sit in a corner. I'm going to go be alone. I'm just going to put in my earbuds. I'm just going to get on my phone. I'm just going to ignore everybody. I'm just going to do my thing. I'm going to be me. Stop me when I'm wrong. Right? We do this. We do this. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. He runs away. This is no different. This is no different. He makes a shelter to watch this, and God has this plant grow. Can we just sidebar for a second? That would be weird. That would freak me out for a second. All right, I'm sitting down, and God's like, hey, here's a plant. What? That's just weird. But it's cool at the same time. And so he's happy about it. Dude's a drama queen, okay? But until, of course, God takes it away and makes it hot. And he's like, I just kill me now. I'm hot. My head is sunburned because this plant's gone. You know what I mean? And Jonah goes back to the same attitude, but God asks him the same question. God asks him the same question about his anger. And this time, Jonah responds like the mature toddler that he is and says, I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. And we have done the same thing many times. We all do this. I've heard you guys do it. I've heard you guys say these kinds of things about the most stupid stuff. Myself included, we get to this point. But we all deal with it. We all deal with this because here's the deep down issue, and that's why I put it on the screen. We get angry with God when we're faced with the reality that we are not God. That's why he's mad. That's why you're mad. That's why I'm mad when we get into those situations. It's kind of deep. That's like like we're not sitting there yelling at God and going, well, I'm not God. But that's really kind of the deep-rooted issue because we're looking at authority in the wrong way. Jonah saw Nineveh kind of as his and God's enemy. He wasn't approaching Nineveh in the right way. He was approaching Nineveh from the very beginning. He tried to run, and then after that, when God said, go, because I have fish eat you and puke you back up. And so he's like, all right, fine, I'll go. But he wasn't going with the right heart. He wasn't going with the right motive. He saw them as his enemy. He went reluctantly, hoping that the outcome would just be what he expected it to be anyway, which was, and then it wasn't. God's goals are very different from Jonah's. And let me just say this. Look at me, guys. God's goals are not always the same as yours. They're not always the same as mine. And we need to just get that. You need to just kind of do your best to get your arms around that and get your head around that idea that God's goals are not always the same as yours because he is God. And God shows Jonah that he is God through this whole situation. And his response to Jonah's anger is awesome, right? It's really good. Jonah 4:10 through 11. Listen to this. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who can't tell their right hand from their left? God's like, mic drop. You know what I mean? Like, what? He's like, what now? You know, and he's right. He's right because he drops the hammer on Jonah's terrible attitude. Jonah had a very terrible attitude. He shows him something about himself and something that you and I have a hard time coming to grips with as well sometimes through this plant, and that's that our goals and God's goals are different, as we said. We know that. He showed him that. But we have to choose to submit to God's goals. We have to make the decision to submit to God's goals. I said, a minute ago that we have to be okay with the fact that his goals are different from our goals. Okay. Then we have to be willing to submit to those things. We have to be willing to submit to God's goals. Submitting to God means that we rely on his authority for our protection. We rely on his authority for our protection and submit to his goals. And so is this the end? Because if you're scrolling through, maybe on your phone, the book of Jonah, you get down to verse 11, you might get a little confused because you get down there and you read God's response to Jonah. And we want to keep reading about how maybe, like in verse 12, Jonah's like, turns around to God and says, yeah, you're right. I'm gonna repent and all that. But there's no verse 12. There's no verse 12. And it seems kind of weird when you read it through. God's side of the conversation with Jonah is the last thing that we have recorded about Jonah's life. It's the last thing that we have. And you're kind of left hanging. And I think here's the reason why. Because we have the exact same chance that Jonah does here, and that is to submit to God's authority. And his story wasn't finished being written. Think about that. There was more to be written to Jonah's life. And yours isn't either. Your story isn't finished being written either. You might be at the end of verse 11 in your life right now. You might be at a place in your life where you're at the end of verse 11 and you've got maybe a big decision to make. Maybe there's something going down in your life right now. Maybe it's tonight. Maybe it's this weekend. Maybe it's next week. Maybe stuff's going good right now and you don't have a big decision to make right now, but you will. You will. You're going to have a decision to make about God's authority one way or the other at some time soon. I don't know when it is. I have a feeling it might be for some of you tonight or tomorrow or this weekend. What are you going to do this weekend? You going to make the right decision? You going to walk with the wise and become wise? Or are you going to associate with fools and get in trouble? That's just one example. Could be a bunch of different things. Maybe it's an issue with your parents. Maybe it's an issue with school. Maybe it's something with a teacher or a coach or whatever. Maybe it's a temptation in your life. Maybe it's something between you and a friend or you and a couple of friends. Whatever it is, whatever God has commanded you to do in that situation, I hope you've prayed about it. I hope you've been able to seek wise counsel about it, that maybe it's pretty obvious. Maybe it's pretty obvious where God's heart is in that particular circumstance or decision or situation. And you're sitting there trying to decide what verse 12 is going to be for you and what that's going to look like. And it hasn't been written yet. And this is why when I said tonight could be a very important night for some of you, maybe for all of you. Because you may be on the brink of making a decision that could be life-altering in a negative way. But I hope that tonight you're able to make a decision in a life-altering way that's in a positive way. And so I have to plead with you guys, with my connection point for the night. I have to plead with you to submit to God as the ultimate authority in your life. This is really kind of the same thing we've been talking about the whole time. But I beg you and plead with you to submit to God's authority as the ultimate authority. When you're under that umbrella of God and his authority, it's 1,000 times better than living outside of it on your own. And as we talked about, I think it was the first week, in many ways you're off the hook. Because if you're making your own decisions and you're following your own way, then you're the one that's got to cash the check. And if you're following God's way, he's the one that's going to cash it for you. It's better than living your own way as living God's way. Jonah's story could be the perfect picture of submission to God's authority and the right way to do things. But the reality of it is that it's not. Don't be like Jonah in this regard. Be like those sailors that got saved on the boat. Be like the Ninevites who repented and turned to God at the drop of a hat, because when they heard the word of the Lord, they dropped everything and turned to him because they could see the destruction coming. Some of you can see the destruction coming. You can see it. You can see that train bearing down on you or whatever it might be. You know it's coming. And you have a decision to make. Submit to God as the ultimate authority in your life. As we look at this, I can't help but like wonder and ask the question as we're reading through this. Why in the world did God choose Jonah? I mean, really, like why? He could have used anybody. He could have used nobody to reach Nineveh because he's God. And these sailors. And instead, he chooses this stubborn crybaby who struggles with submission. And the answer actually we'll find in the New Testament. And so this is the last verse, and then we're going to wrap up tonight. And I put the whole verse on the screen because I want you to see it. It's in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Remember, reconcile is just a big word for meaning to make things right. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We can make things right with others. That God was reconciling the word to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Here's why Jonah's life is so important for us. Here's why. It's the secret to God's purpose of authority. It's because we are Jonah. That's why God decided to use Jonah, because we are Jonah. We are just like this. We are stubborn crybabies who struggle with submission. Yet, God chooses to use us. God's chosen to use you. Even in the midst of that, even in the middle of all that. And here's the two differences between you and me and Jonah. Number one, we have Jonah's life to learn from. We can read it and we can see it and we can learn these lessons from him. So that's one of the big things. But the second thing, the bigger thing, Jonah, that story took place in the Old Testament. We have Jesus Christ to make us new creations. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to help us make better decisions, the advocate. Committing to a new life in Christ and submitting to God's authority each and every day. Here's the thing, guys, that connection point, submit to God as the ultimate authority in your life, that's not something that you can just do right now and be like, sweet, I'm done, good. Glad I got that out of the way. That's something we need to do every day. Every day, every morning, maybe even multiple times a day. It's not just a one quick fix. It's something we need to do all the time, and some days we're gonna do better than others. But we need to submit to God's authority each and every day. So now that you know about Jonah and you know about Jesus, what are you gonna do about it? What are you gonna do about it? I don't want you to worry about the person next to you. I don't want you to worry about anybody else. Because it's really easy for us to be like Jonah in that respect and start pointing fingers and acting like a toddler and all that junk. I want you to think about you and how your life is maybe a mirror of Jonah's in some ways. Some ways it's not, I hope. But what are you going to do about it? Where are you right now? Some of you might need some prayer for something, for a decision that you're going to make. Some of you may have an authority place or figure in your life that you're struggling with. I want to pray for you. I'd love to talk to you if you need to talk about it. But let me tell you this, the first place you need to start is submitting to God's authority in your life. And the best way to do that, number one, is to know that you have a relationship with him. To know that you are a follower of Jesus, that you can call yourself a Christian. You could call yourself a follower of God. That's what Christian means, follower of Jesus, follower of Christ, Christ follower. All of that. That is a place to start, because if you don't have a relationship with Christ, how can you then use the Holy Spirit's power to help you make better decisions and to submit to his authority in your life? And if you do have a relationship with God, if you can call yourself a Christian, call yourself a follower of Christ, then maybe it's time for you to drop whatever attitude you've been given God and submit back to his authority. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes. Some of you here may need some prayer for something. You may need to talk. You may need some counsel in one way or another. We'd love to talk to you if that's you. We would love to have some conversations if you need to, or pray with you. You don't even have to tell us everything that's going on. If you're just like, I just need prayer. I just need somebody to pray with. And we don't normally do something like this, but I'm just going to say it. If you need prayer for something right now, you have maybe a big decision that you need to make, and you want to get up and grab one of our leaders and just go in the hub and pray, or somewhere else and pray, please do it. Nobody's going to look at you weird or anything like that. If you need prayer for something, do it. Go. Maybe you don't want to get up and go pray, but you do need prayer for something, and you got a big decision that you're making in your life, would you be willing to maybe just look me in the eye so that I can pray for you? I won't pull you aside, or unless you really want to talk and pray later, but I'd love to pray for you. Just you and I can make eye contact. Just me and you and God will see it, and I'll pray for you. And for the rest of us, maybe for the one or two of us, or maybe more, that don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, let's start there. And then you can work on submitting to his authority, because his authority is going to determine your eternity, whether you want to believe that or not, whether you want to submit to that or not. That's the truth of it. If you want to know more about that, I'd love to talk to you as well. If you're not 100% sure that if you were to die tonight, that you would spend eternity in heaven, and you want to know more about that, would you be willing to just look me right in the eye and make eye contact, and we could talk later tonight possibly? And if that's you, just maybe look at me and give me a little nod so that I know that we've seen each other. Jesus, I love you, Lord, and I thank you, God, for the great night that you've given us. I thank you for these students that are here, Lord, and I thank you for your authority in our life. God, I thank you that you love us so much that you do have your authority in our life, that you don't just let us run around to screw everything up, because that's exactly what we'll do. And God, I thank you that you choose to use us, even in spite of ourselves. God, I'm still humbled and amazed every week that you choose to use me and that you choose to use us. You're God. You can use whoever you want. And Lord, you choose to use us. And you rarely use the people that maybe we think are qualified or that we think are the best to do this or to that, God. You love to use the people that everybody else looks at and goes, what in the world? God, you look at them and you see a masterpiece, as it says in your word. God, I believe that you want to do an amazing work through these students in their schools, in the world around them, through their friends. But God, it starts with submitting to your authority, to submit to you as the ultimate authority in our life, the ultimate authority, not just when we feel like it, but all the time. God, so help us, starting with me, to submit to you every day and every moment that we need to, Lord, and to follow you, as the song said, where you go, I'll go. I will follow. Lord, I pray that all of us would take that challenge, and would take that seriously. And Lord, again, for those that looked up that say they need prayer, God, I pray for them. I pray for the decision that maybe they have to make for whatever's going on in their life. Lord, I pray you'd give them wisdom, that you'd give them guidance, you'd protect them, help them to make the right choice and to know your voice in that circumstance. And Lord, if there is one here that doesn't know you as Savior, God, I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't walk out the doors tonight without getting that straight, or at least beginning a conversation. Lord, thank you for the great night that we've had. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.